Hi, this is John Edmiston from Insights for Eternity. And today we will be looking at a fascinating passage in Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23, where we'll be talking about taboos and bans and the way the old religious system still influences our minds and our hearts, and how we have to get rid of old superstitions and old cultural ways that might hinder us in our walk in the Christian faith. Before we address that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray for your spirit upon this broadcast. We pray that you will make your word clear and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the scripture, Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees, such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, that you all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but of no value against fleshly indulgence. So, before we get into this passage, I have to explain some terms here, like the elementary principles of the world and what is the world. The world here in the Greek is cosmos. It's the old system of organized religion that we find in tribal religions, in Hinduism, in Buddhism, in all the old religions of the world, in Judaism before Christ. The cosmos is the religious and social structures centered around demonic powers and principalities that governed over humanity after the fall of Satan from heaven. Now, it gets really complicated. Satan starts out in the third heaven, which is the heaven that Paul visited there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a third heaven and a second, a first heaven, then earth. In the third heaven, he was there until he was kicked out before the beginning of the Old Testament, and he ends up in the second heaven. In the second heaven, he sets up all the vile idol religions of the world. Fear and superstition and voodoo and magic and witchcraft, taboos and all sorts of things that enslave people's minds and hearts. And we see many of those old religions around the world today. So when Satan fell, there were good angels and the bad angels. The good angels went to take charge of the Jewish people and set up the law. We find that in Acts 7:52 and some other verses in Hebrews. So the good angels go over and they're taking care the plan of salvation, and they set the law of Moses in place, and they supervise that. And for them, there's temples and priests, and there's all sorts of categories of clean and unclean, but they're very different from the Gentile world. But if you go over to the Gentile world of Baal or Moloch, they still have an imitation of the angelic system. They have temples, they have priests, they have clean, they have unclean, they have sacrifices and libations. So there's two systems. Both look the same because they're both being done by angels. One system by bad angels, that of human sacrifice and all sorts of voodoo and witchcraft and idolatry, and one by good angels, which set up the systems in the Old Testament. So here we are for thousands of years being ruled by two different lots of angels, both working out of the second heaven and both in constant conflict with one another. And eventually Christ appears on the scene. And so when Christ appears, all the things that were a shadow of the things to come are done away with. The good angelic system of the angels that set up the Jewish law, that's finished. The temple curtain is torn in two, the temple is demolished, and Christ alone becomes the standard of religion. What happens to the bad angels? They're still setting up systems to Zeus and Moloch and everything else, and so the gospel's meant to demolish them. And so they're still setting up these fearful systems of enslavement that exist to this day. I've just finished a trip to India, and you can still see the fearful systems of Hindu temples all over the land and people bowing down to them. And I arrived in a city called Nagpur, and people were celebrating, bowing down to bulls, but bowing down to animals on this festival in early September. And here they are still bowing down to animals, and you can't do this to a cow, and you can't eat beef, and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. This is the old demonic way of doing religion. It's not the Christian way of doing religion at all. It's vile, it's terrible. So the cosmos is the social and spiritual system that came from the fallen angels trying to dominate mankind and filling people with fear and dread. So that women in India are treated terribly. They're beaten, they're bowed down, they have very little say in life at all. And as Christianity spreads, a lot of women is getting better in some places and worse than others. But generally speaking, Christianity is helping women to get careers and progress in life as Christian ideas come to India. But all the same, there is a terrible culture of abusing women because that's what the demons want to do, and the demons control large chunks of society in India. When I was in Papua New Guinea, for a while I was among the Gogodala tribe, and they were a very ancient tribe that lived in the Fly River region out near the Aramea River in the western province of Papua New Guinea. Before Christ came, the women were under bamboo cages, and the bamboo cages were there supposedly to protect them from evil spirits. And it was thought that if an ancestor in their tribe or a relative in their tribe died, then they had to wear one of these bamboo cages for 9 months to protect them from the spirits. Well, what happens is that relatives in their large clans would die at fairly frequent intervals, so the entire adult life, these women would be wearing these bamboo cages around their bodies. But when the gospel came, they did not fear those spirits anymore. They knew that those spirits had been dealt a severe blow by the gospel, that those spirits had been taken care of by the cross. So off came the bamboo cages, and the women began to feel proud and stand straight. And they received Christ in their hearts, and the whole tribe of 30,000 people received Christ in their hearts. And when I was there, there was some Bible training. There was a little Bible Gogodala Christian Training Center. There was a hospital. There was a high school. That tribe was changing, and it had come out of darkness into light, and it had put away the elemental things of that time. They'd put away the taboos. They'd put away the fear. They'd put away the superstition that governed their life. And every culture, no matter how sophisticated it is, has some fear or some superstition in it. As a child, we were told that breaking a mirror would mean 7 years of bad luck, and that under certain circumstances, you had to throw salt over your shoulder to get rid of an evil eye or something like that. And if you walked on the sidewalk, you had to step on the squares and not on the lines of the pavement. And there's all these little fears of the number 13 or this or that or the other. Now, in some cultures, this is very crippling. There are so many rules that people spend all their lives obeying the rules that are thought up by demons that want to control that culture. Now, these rules that try and govern people's lives, that try and say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, they're all shattered by the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ takes care of what we call the stoicheia, or the elemental principles of the world. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All these rules about self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, they are done away with. You don't have to beat yourself with a whip or cut yourself or crucify yourself to please God. There's people up in the Philippines, in the mountains there, who tie themselves to crosses every Easter, or maybe even drive nails in through their hands and their feet because they want to imitate Christ. That is not necessary. That is old superstitious religion. And we're done with old superstitious religion. We are now seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. We have died to this world. It says that if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, you have died with Christ. You are in Christ. Because you are in Christ, you have died with Christ. You have risen with Christ. You are seated in heavenly realms with Christ. When Christ returns, you will return with him. And when he rules and reigns on earth, you will rule and reign with him because you are in Christ. That didn't happen because of any good works you've done, but by the grace of God. And the grace of God has placed you in Christ, and Christ is now in the heavenly realms, and you are in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If we go to chapter 3 of Colossians and just look at the next few verses on from where we're saying, it says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You're dead to this world. You're dead to whatever culture you're from, Australian, American, African, or whatever. You're dead to this world and the requirements of this world. You are now seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and you have a new life in Christ, a life that will only be revealed on the last day. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And you need to realize that the life that is you, the life that's your heart, life that's your soul and your spirit, is not visible in this world. You can't tell what a Christian is in this world because we will be revealed only on the last day, at the revealing of the sons of God when all creation is set free. And there's a lot about that in Romans chapter 8 from verse 20 on, when our liberation, our revealing as the sons of God, frees all of creation from the bondage under which it groans. You see, the demons have taken control of big chunks of creation, and they're vicious, and they're destroying the earth, and they're causing all sorts of pollution and greed, and their lust for power, and their lust for instruments of war. And as the demons want to drop bigger bombs all over the world, they are blowing this world up. They're tearing it apart in their terrible rage against God and against his creation and against the children of God. And the demonic powers that want to wreak havoc on this planet are just being held back by God for a little while until the end times. And our life is hidden with Christ in God. And when it's revealed, all the curses of that are on creation, all the demonic control of creation, it will be broken and creation will be set free. And it will no longer be subjected to evil. It will no longer be subjected to the restraint it had to be subjected to when we fell, because the creation would have overwhelmed us. So when we are revealed, all creation will be revealed with us. And so we are these glorious people. We are not subjected to the old tribal taboos of what you can eat, taste, drink, or touch. We are not subjected to the rules and commandments of men or of women. Here in politically correct America, they have come up with all sorts of crazy taboos. You can't say this, you can't do that. And they're all the taboos that come out of the demons from the gay and LGBTQ and all the other politically correct things. And their people are terrified of saying or doing the wrong thing and of upsetting people. There was a case recently of some girls that dressed in skirts to go to school, and it was seen as an insult to the transgender people that these girls wore perfectly modest skirts going to school. They should have worn trousers. And that was what they were told, and they were kicked out of school and the police were called. That's demonic activity against the natural order of things. When this hypersensitivity to the demons that control people through the transgender movement and the gay movement are taking over the world. And we don't have to be afraid of them. We are dead to this world. We don't have to obey all the commandments of men or of women or of governments or politically correct people or of the media. We are dead to this world, and what they say about what we can handle, taste, or touch is all a load of nonsense. And we need to tell them that. We are going to walk in our freedom in Christ. We are going to proclaim the truth that is in Christ. We are not going to be involved in the old superstitions, though they may have an appearance of wisdom. But it's according to the rules and commandments of men, and they have no effect. They have no sanctifying effect. You cannot control lust, or you cannot control all the desires of your flesh with these old religious systems. They only make it worse. All the rules of the Jews did not stop the Jewish people from coveting. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 7. All the rules of various religions do not work against the desires of the flesh. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can kill the flesh. It is as we walk in the Spirit, it's only as we walk in the Spirit that we can put to death the desires of the flesh. That's in Galatians 5, 16 to 18. So it's as you walk in the Spirit that you have victory, not as you obey this rule or that rule. Rules do not give you spiritual victory. The Holy Spirit is the only one that gives you spiritual victory, because you're in a different spiritual realm now. You're not back there with the old demons of Zeus or Ashtaroth or Baal or Moloch. You're in a new spiritual realm, one that is formed by the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ Jesus. You are seated in heavenly realms with Christ. You do not have to obey all those things about you can't touch this, you can't eat pork, you can't eat crayfish, you can't eat shrimp, you can't eat crabs, you can't eat anything that doesn't have this or that. So those old Jewish rules, they're done away with. You can eat pork if you want to, that's fine, because it's now clean to you because Christ has cleansed it through the cross. You can go ahead and eat what you want and drink what you want without superstitious repercussions. You are not going to be under a curse if you eat chicken or beef, or if you eat whatever you want to eat. If you eat shellfish, you are not going to be under some spiritual curse from the Old Testament. Those curses have been done away with by the cross. The old superstitions that say if you're doing this or doing that, then the demons will come and get you and curse you. Those things are done away with in Christ because you're no longer part of this world. You're no longer living in this world. You're no longer under the old cosmos of the ancient religions, and you're not subject to the vindictiveness of demons anymore. Those in old religions, they'd say, if you went near this tree or touched that tree, then you would be cursed and you would die. But now in Christ, we are hidden in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. A Christian can go and touch that tree, that magic tree, that respected tree, and they will not die because they're hidden in Christ with God. And we have power over things, and we have disarmed Satan. And we saw that earlier in Colossians chapter 2. Christ has triumphed over the devil and all his requirements. He's nailed the handwriting to the cross. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And all the old superstitions don't matter. They don't control us anymore. You can go outside on Friday the 13th and it won't cause you any bad luck at all. You don't have to worry about the new moon or the Sabbath or what time of the year it is, or whether or not that you walk on the right side of the street or the wrong side of the street. All of those superstitions don't matter anymore. You don't have to take a pinch of salt and throw it over your shoulder. You don't have to wear a bracelet or an amulet to guard you from evil spirits. All those things are done away with now in Christ. You are free. You are free from the fear in your mind. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God does not control you through the fears of taboos. Just say there was a taboo that said, if you touch alcohol, God will strike you dead, or something like that. Well, those taboos are done away within Christ. It's not saying that if you touch alcohol, you're going to be struck dead or something bad's going to happen to you. You should drink and drink wisely, or drink not at all, depending on your conscience. But there is no religious taboo with a curse on it associated with the consumption of alcohol. You may say, well, it's very wise that I don't, and certainly it may be wise for you. And if you don't want to drink, then don't drink. That's fine. But what I'm saying is there is no substance on this earth that has a particular aspect about it that's going to place a spiritual curse on your life. You can eat pork, you can eat bacon. You will not get a curse put on your life for eating pork or eating bacon. It's just food that goes into the body and out of the body and is eliminated. You don't have to worry about the spiritual realms getting back at you if you break some tribal taboo, or if you break some religious taboo, or if you fail to attend a new moon, a Sabbath, or a festival, that some bad luck is going to happen to you. No, don't worry about bad luck anymore. Worry about staying in the will of God. Worry about faith operating through love. Worry about loving your neighbor and obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ. You just obey what's in the Bible. Don't worry about the silly superstitions that all of us have at some point in our life. Don't worry about doing such and such under the new moon will make you crazy. That's all just superstition. And you need to get rid of that out of your life and not let it affect you. And so get rid of those old things from the old religions that you heard from your grandmother or your great-grandmother. They may have an appearance of wisdom, but they have no effect in sanctifying you and making you holy. All they do is they make you fearful. They make you afraid of things and spirits and demons and curses. Oh, you've got to have this in one corner of your house. Or you've got to do feng shui if you're going to have a Chinese business that succeeds. Or you've got to put an elephant here or a statue of a lion over there or a mirror here to chase off the evil spirits. No, 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 no more chasing off evil spirits. Christ has chased them off on the cross. You do not need that at all. You don't need any of that Chinese magic. You don't need any Muslim magic. You don't need any Hindu or Buddhist magic. You don't need to take joss sticks and wave them around or burn some sage to get rid of a spell in your house. That's all over and done with. Let's go back to the verses again here in Colossians. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, the spiritual and cultural world controlled by demons, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teaching of men, not the commandments and teaching of God? Okay? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion, not God-made religion. God-made religion is the religion of being born again, of being renewed, of being set apart by the Holy Spirit of God. And self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but of no value against fleshly indulgence. You can beat yourself with a stick all you like. It's not going to take away your lust. You can treat your body severely, going on really long fast. It's not going to make you any better a Christian. You just need to walk in the Spirit. Sometimes you might have to fast to get hold of the will of God, but the severe treatment of the body, the abuse of the body, is not Christian and it's not spiritual. God has made your body to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, and as a temple of the Holy Spirit, it's a shrine. It's a holy place in which God dwells, and you ought to treat your body well, because your body's going to be resurrected from the dead one day, and you're going to receive your body back from the grave, a glorified body, a transformed body, a body that is full of the glory of God, that is to be sure. It'll be a spiritual version of your earthly body, and your body is sacred to God, for he dwells in it. And your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore it is not to be given away in immorality and lust. So here we say, see, self-made religion, self-abasement, severe treatment of the body. These are religions that we construct, that we think we can get our own way to heaven if we bow down, if we pour ashes all over ourselves, if we go off into the wilderness and fast, and we're going to impress God in some way. But that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. It says that in John chapter 3. Because that which is of the flesh is flesh, it is of no effect. It cannot do anything good, because your enemy is the flesh, and that which is of the flesh, the old religions, the old ways, that is of the flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is of the Spirit. So even a good person who's of the flesh, like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus says, you've got to be born again. Nicodemus, you're a nice man, you're a rich man, you're a wealthy man, you're a cultured man, he's a teacher of all Israel, but he didn't understand spiritual things because his mind and heart were still in the flesh and trying to make his own way up to God. And then eventually Nicodemus, we know, does get born again, and we find him at the resurrection. We find him also later in church history, where he gives away vast amounts of money to the poor. His heart was truly changed. He was no longer an elite Jew, he was part of the church. And he took of his wealth and he gave to others. So we find that the old realm of doing things, the old way of working, where we've got to impress God and obey this formula or that formula or do this, do that, and do it in the right order. And we've got all this list of instructions in our head, the whole list of I have to, all those lists of things that God, we think, makes us want to do. They're actually, most of those things are from the demonic realm. They're demons trying to run you around in little circles. Or say, you can't touch this, you can't taste that, you better do this, you better do that. And instead, we should be following the Spirit. It's not should, must, ought to, and have to. It's rather we follow the love of God in our heart. We follow the truth of God in our heart. We set our mind on things above, and then God takes over our personality and directs it towards Christ. And as God takes over our personality and directs it on Christ, all the legalistic stuff fades away. We are absorbed in the love of God. We love the Lord with our heart and mind and soul and strength, and fear departs from us. Because all that spirit of fear, that spirit of having to do this and doing that, that is not from God. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And a sound mind is not full of superstition. A sound mind does not dread the sound of a witch doctor's rattle. A sound mind does not dread someone far away sending a voodoo curse in your direction. Because you're in Christ, and Christ will protect you from that curse. and you can rise up against all the superstitions of the age. All the people that used to fill people with fear, they're now as nothing. They've been cast down. And Christ has taken the victory over them through the cross. And you are now in Christ, and you are now safe from those things through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God clothes you in the full armor of God. You have the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and the shoes shod with the gospel of peace. You have been equipped in that. You have been given the armor of God, the very armor that God wears. You have been given that to fight off the demonic powers and principalities that once governed the face of this earth. And you're a rebel. You're casting down their kingdom that's made out of rules, trivial rules about taboos and do this and don't do that and do it to the other. And you are going to cast down the authority of Satan over mankind. And you're going to establish the authority of Christ over mankind. And you will declare the gospel, and you will set people free by the word of your power, by the word of your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. You will set men and women free across the earth, free from the fears and superstitions that dominate their minds and keep them in darkness, just as the Gogadala people were kept in darkness, just as the Hindus in India are now kept in darkness. People who do not understand the power of the gospel. And in the gospel, you have died to the cosmos. You have died and you are no longer part of the old system of superstition and cultural control instituted by demons. You are now free. You have risen with Christ to new life. You are seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. You are now far above the second heaven where all the demons dwelled, and they've been cast down to the first heaven now, because after the cross, they were cast down to the first heaven, and Satan is now just the prince of the power of the air, and you're up there in the third heaven, and you've got more power than them. So you don't have to worry about those people anymore. You can charge along without having to have your life dominated by demons and superstitions and amulets and the control of the old cultural systems that try and control people throughout the world today. You're of the light, not of the darkness. Go back and read Colossians 2:20-23 and set yourself free. For God wants you to be free of any and every superstition that's controlled your life. God bless you all. Have a great day. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity.